You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Finished that? Are you finished with your cup there? Are you done? Oh no, you're still going. You're still working on it. Okay. Okay. Are you finished with that? Can you turn me down a little bit? You finished? No, you're still good. Okay. You good there? You need me to? Here. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. You good? Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Good. Anybody else? We good? Okay with that there? You need a refill? I can just pour this in there. No, okay, we're good. All right, anybody else? You guys see how's it going back there in the executive suite? Okay, good. All right, excellent. All right, you good? Are you good there? You need a refill? No, you're good? Okay, all right, thank you. So are you good? Do you guys have everything you need this morning? All right, let me know if you need anything. All right, well, you know, again, can you pull me down a little bit more? I'm really loud. And so I have a question for you. When it comes to restaurants, here, and we're getting audience participation here, so go ahead and actually turn on the house lights for me there, whoever is currently running that computer, since it changed. So my question for you, we're going to get a good picture here. We got to get this. This is for our Instagram page, mc3church.org/Instagram. No, instagram.com/mc3church. There we go. When you go to a restaurant, Here's the question. What places do you tip? Where do you tip? Okay, let me ask it more specifically. You are going to pick up your Dunkin' Donuts order, and you place the order online. You haven't even seen your donuts yet, and they're like, would you like to add a tip? Is that a yes or no? Like, yes to the tip, thumbs up? No. Okay, so no on that one. All right. Okay, they get extra change if you pay cash. Okay, so let's see. If you're any kind of online order, let me ask you this. If you are placing an order of some sort and they ask you to tip before you get your food, yes or no? No. Okay, just curious. You're all being recorded, and every time you go somewhere, they're going to look at you. We just got takeout last night from a local place that they did the same thing. They're like, hey, would you like to show your appreciation for the crew by adding your tip? And we got our food and brought it back home. And I don't think they made it then. I think they made it earlier. And that was very subtle, Kyle. Great, Kyle. You're doing great. I'm not even sure. Was this here? Okay. Anyway, we got our food, and I'm pretty sure they made it earlier and then realized it wasn't for pickup till later because it was definitely cold, and they didn't put the napkins in with it. And so it's kind of like, I'm glad I said no to the tip. But, you know, that's just my take. So can you pull me down a little bit more still? I just so loud. Just curious, what's the average, what's an average for you? What is an average restaurant tip? What do you do? 10%? Nothing the first time? 20? 20, 30? Okay, you want her. 30, all right. Okay, so somewhere around 20. So 15, it used to be, 18? Does anybody do 18? That was the standard. All right. Let me ask this. What's a good restaurant tip? What's a good tip? If you were to give someone a good tip, what would you give them? 25? You double the first number? Double the first two numbers? Okay. So let me ask this then. With that, what earns a good tip in your mind? Quality food, good service? Their attendance? Is that what you said? Their attentiveness? What else? Anything else? At least 3 coffee refills, even if you're drinking soda. All right, politeness, yeah. All right, so then what's a bad tip? Assuming that 0 is a bad tip. Okay, that's. But what would be a bad tip that you would intentionally tip but not well? 2 cents, okay. 10%. All right, so Steph has strong opinions about this. Later. All right, that's an interesting point, Steph. Hold that thought. All right, so they did that. But so what would deserve a bad tip? Cold food? Who said that? Rudeness? All right. We're not trying to start any fights here, people. All right, calm down. All right. Yeah. If you're right, make sure you sit. No. So just to be clear, right? A tip. Do you know what the fancy word for tip is? Gratuity. Do you know the root of the word gratuity? Gratitude. Do you know the root of the word gratitude? Grace. It's tied to grace. Gratis is free. Yeah, so I guess we can keep chipping it down till we get to grace. Because that's what a gratuity is. That's what a tip is. It's a grace. It's something you're giving to your server as a way to offer them something. And the interesting thing is that you're doing that for what they have done for you, right? You say, hey, thank you so much. I'm going to give you 30% because you did such a great job. Because you were there for me, or you were attentive, or you know, you went the extra mile. And you do that because of what they have done for you. And so, you know, obviously Steph has very strong opinions about that 20% margin. 18%, 15% at one point, I remember growing up, like that was kind of the thing for tipping. So my question is this. If 10% is an offensive tip for a server, why are we comfortable giving God only 10% and not considering that to be offensive? And let's just be honest. Some of you might be here or watching online going like, I don't give 10%. I don't give much at all. I don't give anything. And we'll talk about that. But let's consider the fact that you would, you know, unless you were a jerk, and you're going to have a chance in your prime groups this week just to share your stupid tip stories. I have a great one from when I was poor and in college, and it involved me and my friend going to the bathroom separately and then running out of the restaurant because we couldn't afford the tip. But you know, you'll have a chance to share those stories. But in general, like, we wouldn't tip someone that way because that would be offensive. And yet when we say, okay, I'm going to give God 10%, and there's going to be roots, and we're going to talk about what that is. But we're in this series called Churchianity 101, and we're going through what it is that makes the church, and what are the principles that God has said for the entire church throughout the world, throughout history, and then what are some of the practices and the way we specifically apply that at MC3. And I'm going to move these because I'm afraid Kyle will knock them over. I'll move them over here. And so we're looking at these different things, these principles for everyone and these practices specifically for how we do it. And the point that I want us to get this week is that the church should give generously. The 10%, frankly, and again, maybe you grew up in church and you've heard about the tithe, and we'll talk about the tithe, but that shouldn't be kind of like, yeah, I'll give God whatever I can get by with. We should be giving generously. So that's the principle. And the practice for us is so that MC3, we have offering buckets. Fancy buckets. And there's nothing wrong with fancy offering plates, but there's nothing wrong with people passing trays down or boxes in the back or anything like that. But that's how we're doing it here with offering buckets. And so I want to talk about this idea of giving and what does it look like. And I'll just be honest, if you're a guest here, if you're watching for the first time online, like, oh, here we go, church talking about giving me their money. And yeah, I am, because it's in the Bible. And I'm going to keep talking about the Bible. And so we're going to keep talking about this. And frankly, you know, the crazy thing, if you were to go through a little study and say, let's look at the life of Jesus, what are the things he talks about? He talks about money more than anything else. So we're going to talk about it because it's biblical. And I want to challenge you to perhaps stretch your thinking in terms of giving and even stretch your faith when it comes to giving. So I've got a lot of content this morning. And as you can tell, we haven't passed the buckets because we're going to do that at the end as part of our Churchianity lab. And I'm not even sure. Is Sarah still running the computer at this point? Okay. We've swapped people there up here. It's a crazy morning. And if you're in the room, there's a lot of vacations happening right now. So it's a light crowd. But But I want to talk about some general principles and then some specific principles as we go through this. So first of all, I want to talk about gratitude, which again, both are rooted in the word grace. And grace is something that's undeserved. And so on some level, a tip is something that's undeserved. Like, you could legitimately, legally walk out of a restaurant without giving a tip, and nobody could prosecute you. Depending on what state you could live in, you can walk out of any restaurant without paying for anything and nobody would prosecute you, but that's a different story. But the idea is that, you know, your tip is meant as something that's bonus. And so I want to look at this passage. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And so if you have a paper Bible, the lights are on, you can open there. If you have the YouVersion app, just kind of swipe down or is that up? I still can't figure that out. Get to 2 Corinthians and we're going to tap on chapter 9. But 1 and 2 Corinthians were letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he planted these churches, and then things got so bad that he had to write some letters. And specifically, the letters to the Corinthian church were dealing with how they do church. So in general, like, there's a bunch of different letters, Ephesians, Galatians, to these different churches. But the Corinthians one, in general, more than the other ones, talked about how to do church. And so that's what he was writing this letter to this church that he planted. And Kendra was in a grad class this weekend online for seminary. And she was, the professor said, you know, how interesting it was that the failure of those churches gave us material for learning about Jesus, for learning about how the church would operate. And so if the church at Corinth was perfect, we wouldn't know these things that we know. So it's just really kind of a cool thing how God used something that wasn't great for our benefit. So that's what the context is. And so in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul was talking about the church's giving. And, whoa, what happened there? We got ahead of me. Back up. There we go. So the first thing that we see in 2 Corinthians 9 is when he's talking about giving, is that we should give generously. Now, he's talking to the church in Corinth, but these principles apply to every church because we are followers of Jesus. We're the church of Jesus. And he shares this idea that says you should give generously. And that's in verse 6. And it's kind of what I call farmer logic. And in verse 6, this is what Paul says. He says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And it's pretty straightforward. If you put one seed down, the most you're going to get is one plant. But if you put a lot of seeds down, if you give up, think about it that way, if you're giving up more seed, you're going to have more fruit. And of course, if you know anything about most plants, and I don't, but in general, it just takes one tomato seed to make a tomato plant. And a tomato plant gives how many tomatoes in the course of its, you know, 3-month lifespan, 2-month lifespan? 20? 50? I don't know, depending on the type of tomato, I suppose. But the idea is that the more you sow, the more seeds you throw out, the more that you will receive. And again, we're going to come into this a little bit more, but I know a lot of times, especially on TV, the big popular church speaker people, evangelists and all that are like, you give and God will triple your money. You give right now and you will walk home a rich person. And all of these things, they're just not biblical. So don't miss what I'm saying in all this. That, like, if you give $10, next week you'll have 20. And if you give 20 next week, you're going to have 90. And that's not biblical. And we'll talk about what's biblical. But Paul starts the context by saying, look, guys, don't hold on to it. Don't be stingy. Give generously. If you want to see fruit, if you want to see something spectacular happen, then it's going to take some more seed to be sown. And so he says to do that. The more you sow, the more you reap. So the first thing is to give generously. The second thing he says here is to give intentionally. Now, this is where we're getting a little bit more specific, a little bit more personal, perhaps, with you and what that looks like. But Paul says it's very important that you give intentionally, because giving shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be like, well, whatever I've got left over. It should be giving intentionally. And that's what he goes on in verse 7. He says, you must each, and Kirk read this, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So now you're like, wait a second. So wait, you're reading a passage and teaching us that we're not supposed to give under pressure. So why are you even talking about this? Because it's biblical. And we're going to see it has nothing to do with what I want or what the elders want. It has everything to do with trusting what God has for you. And I think we sang a song about that. I trust in God. And so he says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And what Paul is saying here is that there's an intentionality here. There's a plan. Because I can say this, and again, I'm not trying to step on your toes, but I probably will. But if the offering bucket's coming by, and you're like, oh, right. And you're like, oh, I don't know, I got a couple quarters here, a couple bucks. Oh, a piece of gum. Let's just throw all that in there. That's great. It hasn't been chewed yet. So that is what I'm going to give. And that is not deciding ahead of time. That's giving God whatever's left over. And we're going to look at some Old Testament principles here. But for the Israel, God's chosen people, when God was leading the Israelites, one of the things that he commanded them was to give the tithe. And we'll come back to that in a second. But he challenged them to give from what they call the first fruits. And the idea was that, you know, you harvest, let's make this easy. You harvest, since we're on tomatoes, you harvest 10 tomatoes. You don't say, okay, I'm going to eat this one, eat that one, give that one to my family. We're going to have some tomato salad. And, oh, I've got this little runt left over. I guess I'll give that to God. No, you're supposed to give God the first and the best. And the reason you do that, the reason we are supposed to do that, is because it requires trust. And you'll see in a little bit, and I'm going to be bouncing all over the place, and these are going to be weaving all together in this big old tapestry of hopefully understanding or a tapestry of confusion. But the idea is that when we give, and again, if you're deciding ahead of time, if you're giving intentionally, you're saying, God, I'm giving you now, and I don't know what tomorrow's bills are going to be. I don't know what's going to happen to my airbag. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't mean, to the car, so I have to get it repaired. I don't know what's going to happen if that pipe breaks. I don't know what's going to happen with my job. I don't know if I'm going to get the hours this week. I don't know if the company's going to shut down. The whole thing is saying, but God, I'm giving to you first, because this is an act of faith and worship. And so all of this is a matter of trust. And so that's why Paul says, look, don't give God your leftovers. Decide in your heart what to give, how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or response to pressure. And the interesting thing here, this was written in Greek. That was the language that they spoke. And the word reluctantly is two Greek words that means out of pain. Like, don't do it out of pain. God doesn't want you like, yeah, I guess I better do this. Ugh. Like, that's not trust. That's not worship. And then under pressure, and the Greek word for pressure is anak. And we get the word anaconda from that word. The idea of being squeezed. And he says, don't do that. He says, God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And so all this, like, it's okay to feel a little bit like challenge. It's okay to say, you know, maybe this is something I need to do, and it's uncomfortable, and there's no problem. There's a difference between being uncomfortable and discomfort. Discomfort is actual pain. But uncomfortable says, you know what, and I'm just making that up. Maybe there isn't a difference between the two, but it sounds like there should be. But the idea of being uncomfortable says, I'm going to do this, and I'm not comfortable with it. And that's okay, because that requires you to have faith. And without going too far, I mean, what did it take Peter? Was he like, oh, I always walk on water, so I'm totally cool with this. Here I go. I'm getting out of the boat with you, Jesus. No, it's probably a little uncomfortable. But then he saw God do something great through him for a few moments. So he says, decide in your heart how much to give. You need to give intentionally, and that should be your first fruits. And I will also say that we're going to be talking about this idea of consistent giving. And that's what Paul is saying here. Decide in your heart. Say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you 10%. Or I'm going to give you, God, 20%, because I'd give a server that. I'd give a bad server that. But whatever it is, you say, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this first. And that's consistent, regular giving. And I will say that sometimes we talk about things around here, and you're going to hear about something next winter, in the new year, about something we're going to be doing as far as extra giving. But when we talk about, like, missions or the Christmas project, you'll be coming up in a little bit. When we talk about helping with a specific need, that's what's called above and beyond giving. And there's certainly room for spontaneous giving. But the idea is that I'm giving regularly, and if God says I need to do something more, I'm going to even do more. And so you're going to hear about this idea where we're going to have a wall out there. And again, we'll talk about that in the new year. But that's what we call above and beyond. That you're saying, I'm giving consistently to God every week, but this is something special. This is a special need. I'm going to give to God, but I'm going to buy an ornament because it's really going to help the kids at Trigo. And so So that's a concept that comes back again from the Old Testament that Paul then repeats for the church about deciding, about giving intentionally. So we need to give generously, give intentionally, give expectantly. And this is where it all comes together. This is where there's this act of faith that says, okay, God, I'm giving, and I don't know what tomorrow holds. And here's the thing. You don't. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But God does. And so if you're going to say, God, I'm going to trust you by giving you this. I don't know what tomorrow holds. God says, hey, I do. And I honor your faith. And I recognize what you have stepped out in doing. And that's what Paul says. Then he continues this in verse 8 through 11. He says, and God, so you give generously, you give intentionally, and God will generously provide all you need. There's a couple of words there that I want to highlight. God, he's the one doing it. You're not doing it. You think you've worked your way up to the top of your job and you might be there and you might be making great money and tomorrow the company could sell to another company and you've lost it all. My dad was in banking before he retired and dude, he worked for so many different banks because they kept getting bought out. And at one point he even circled all the way around to one bank that bought this bank, that bought this bank, that bought this bank, bought the bank that he was working for again, and he ended up getting this huge promotion because they kept his standing from like four banks earlier. It's crazy stuff. But you don't know. But God will generously provide. And the second thing I want to highlight is all. God's going to give all that you need, not most, and you got to figure it out on the rest. God is going to provide all that you need. You don't have to go, but I need to work this part out. And, you know, God, I know that I've got this expense coming up, so I'm not going to give you as much because I'm going to work this out. And God says, no, give generously. And that God will provide all you. And then the final word there is need. Need is very different than want. All that you need. God will provide all that you need. And that's food, clothing, shelter. Like, God will give you everything that you need. And he gives us beyond what we need. I mean, you technically, right? We only need one change of clothes. You know, and maybe a private washing machine if you need to wash that one change of clothes away from everybody else. But, like, how many clothes do you have? How many pairs of shoes do you have? How many outfits do you have? And that's grace. That's more than we need. And then he says, then you will always have everything you need and then plenty left over so that you can take it and build more stuff and buy better things and get a bigger house and a better car and then go to nicer restaurants where you can not tip people. No, that's not what he says. He says, and then you'll have plenty left over to share with others. God gives to you, not for yourself, but for others. And I need to speed up here. He goes on and says, and the scriptures say they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and the bread and then bread to eat. Like, and again, farming, I'm not a huge farmer by any means. I'm short. But the idea is that they have no control. If there's a drought or a wildfire or a hurricane, like that affects your crop. And there's nothing that a farmer can do about that. So God's the one that provides it. And then it's in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And so what's cool about this is Paul is saying, look, you give generously, you give intentionally, you step out and trust God, and watch what God does. Because then he'll give you more, and you'll be like, ooh, this is awesome. I can help other people. I can do more things. I can give to other needs. And you grow in your generosity, and then you watch God use money, pieces of paper with old dead presidents on them, so that people can hear the message of Christ, turn their hearts over to Jesus for eternity. Lives can be restored. Kids can be fed in Oaxaca. Children can be served here at MC3. Because of a piece of a dead president's face. Piece of paper with a dead president's face. He said, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. It's all a matter of faith saying, this is all from God, and I'm giving, and he's going to provide. It's trust. And that's the issue. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about giving because Sean needs a paycheck. Sean does need a paycheck. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we're talking about giving because of our faith. And trusting God to come through. When you give beyond what you think you can handle, you get to see God come through in amazing ways. And that's what we're talking about here. And then finally, so we need to give generously, give intentionally, give expectantly, and then finally, give worshipfully. And we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But giving is an act of worship. And Paul shares some really cool stuff, and I think we looked at part of this passage last week. In the rest of verse 11, he says, "And then we take your gifts to those who need them, and they will thank God." So two good things result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met, and then they will joyfully express their thanks to God. There's worship happening here. People are going, "Thank God for meeting this need." And you guys have perhaps seen that. If you're in a tough spot, and then out of nowhere, someone's like, "Hey, here's an extra check," or you get a bonus that you weren't expecting in your paycheck, or somebody drops a turkey at your house on the front porch for Thanksgiving because you didn't know how. And like, that is God. And people are like, "Praise God. What an incredible God." And so he goes on and says, "As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God." And that word glory is a worshipful word. "They will worship God, for your generosity to them and to all the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news, the gospel of Christ, the breaking news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words." The whole point is that when we give in generously, give intentionally, we give expectantly, and then God is worshipped. And so we need to recognize that. And I said that last week, you know, when it comes to putting money in the bucket, when it comes to paying online, like, recognize it's worship. God, thank you for giving me this, and I want to give it back to you as an act of faith, an act of worship, an act of trust. So giving generously, giving intentionally, give expectantly, and give worshipfully. The church should give generously. So MC3 has offering buckets and online giving because it's a way for you to give and honor God. And I will say, too, when it comes to the word thanks, we did a whole series called Thanksgiving Thanks a few years ago in November, appropriately. And you can find that on the slide where we talk more about what does it look like to give thanks to God. So what I want to talk about briefly here is just some practical stuff. Because, again, churchianity, we're talking about what does the church do? Why does the church do what we do? Why does MC3 do what we do? And so I just want to share briefly, where does your giving go? What does that look like and why? And this actually I took directly from our offer series that we did years ago. That's also on the opening slide, the closing slide there on the announcement loop. You can find that on our website. But it does three things. And again, I'll be quick here. If you want to talk to me more about these things, you can. I certainly don't want to move on because it's vague. But we as a church, when you give, it goes into those offering buckets. Our finance team, and by the way, our finance team counts it. They know, have a record of what's given. They have a record of the bills. Chris and Sean, I'm Sean. Chris and I never, we don't know any of the giving on purpose. We don't even touch it. We don't see any of it because we don't need to. It's not a matter of you and me. And I've definitely been aware of churches that are like, "Hey, I'm the pastor. I've noticed your giving's down a little bit. You might want to step it up." So we have no clue what's going on. And it's just an accountability thing, too. Like, you can't be like, "Oh, you're just being nice to them because they give more." I have no idea what they give. So we at MC3, like, just to be clear, ministry takes money. I mean, I'm guessing it's probably 70 degrees in here. It doesn't have to be, because we don't have to use the air. And for those of you that were back in the way back in the very beginning of MC3, our air conditioning system was a big cooler back there with water bottles. That was all we had. And we sweated. And then we had an issue in the winter for a couple of years where we had no heat. And we had to wear hats. And actually, Kendra got frostbite on her toes from band practice. From standing on, we didn't have a stage then, standing on the floor, the cold floor. So just ministry takes money. So we're just being real about that. And as elders, we've said we really want to go with this idea of what we call a 50-50 budget, where Jesus says, "Love your neighbors as yourself." And so if Jesus says to do that, we want to try, and it's hard, and we'll see why in a second. We want to try to make sure half of our budget is going to the needs outside of this building, and half is going here. We're not there yet, I'll be completely honest. We're probably further than most of the churches I've been a part of, but it's hard, and you'll see why in a second. So where does the giving go? And we have these come out every summer. These are our fiscal year-end budget summary. It's really exciting paper, but it gives you an idea of where our giving goes. And there's three things, basically, that covers this whole thing. The first is that giving pays for MC3 ministry. And the idea is that it takes money to do ministry. Paul writes, and we just looked at this passage in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs for the Lord's people." So when you give, you're meeting the local church's needs. And again, that includes all sorts of things. In our budget last year, we did around $7,000 for the MC3 Ministries, which is going to Prime Groups, the Worship Experience, MC3 Family, MC3 Student, and about almost, 54,000 covering the building, utilities, mortgage, all that kind of stuff. So that's a big chunk. And again, we could shave all that out by just, I don't know, standing outside in the parking lot and not having a property. But obviously there's things we need to do. So part of the giving goes to that, to covering the ministry of MC3. And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9. Like, hey, your giving is meeting the needs of people. Your giving here is helping kids learn about Jesus. Your giving here is helping students grow in their relationship with Christ. Your giving is helping people grow as they're a part of a Prime group. Your giving is making a comfortable place because, frankly, we're in the United States of America, and if you said, hey, come and visit our church, by the way, bring a little fan and a bottle of water because it's 90 degrees in here, people would be like, yeah, no, I'm not into that. So we're trying to meet people's needs. So that's one part of it. It pays for MC3 ministry. The second thing, where does our giving go? It pays for MC3 missions. And this is from in Philippians chapter 4, Paul was sharing with the church in Philippi, it was a letter he wrote to this church, about how he was going as a missionary from Macedonia to share Christ with people as a missionary. And he says, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, he says, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only, to the church in Philippi. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. And so at MC3, part of the budget, and a significant part of the budget, and we're proud of that, goes to C3 opportunities and goes to MC3 missions. And we support, dang, I don't even remember all the numbers now. We support missionary Tom and Wendy Hogan, who run Operation Enduring Homes in Oaxaca, on a monthly basis. We support Victor and Letty Velasco, who are the directors of Trigo y Mia Oaxaca. We support Juliana and Julie, who are the directors of the Silo School there. We have a general Trigo email budget line just for that. So basically, every month, we send a significant portion of our budget down there for the needs in Oaxaca at Trigo email. And if you don't know what MC3 Missions is, ask someone around you. We can tell you more about that. But it goes to missions. And about $19,000, so just keep that in mind, about $19,000 of the money given last year went to Oaxaca and ministries outside of MC3. $7,000 went to ministries in MC3, which, you'll see in a moment, that's going to get affected by one other thing, and he's right in front of you. So it pays for MC3 ministry, it pays for MC3 missions, and finally it pays for MC3 salaries. And I wanted to throw this passage out because I have heard people over the years be like, oh, well, no church should have a paid pastor. And I'm like, do you just not read the Bible? Because in 1 Timothy, this is what Paul says to Timothy, this young pastor. He says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. Biblical, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. So part of your giving goes to pay my salary. It goes to pay Chris's salary. And it goes to pay our bookkeeper's part-time bookkeeper's salary and our part-time building cleaner's salary. And that's what your giving goes to. And just for the record, that's $81,000, give or take, last year. And that is a significant chunk of the budget, and that's why we're not at 50-50. And if you break the math down on that, we're not making very much. So just to understand, I am not driving a Rolls Royce on the weekday. You just don't see it here. God has provided for us, and he continues to do so, and we are here. And I make, like, very little, and Chris makes even less. So, like, but we have seen God come through. So it's not that we're you know, living in the lap of luxury. But it's part of the reality of ministry. Like, we get paid to do this. And honestly, I know, and there are people that can pull it off. I can't imagine, I know Chris and I were just talking about this a few months ago. I can't imagine having to do this part-time and work a job elsewhere to make money. I just would not be able to pour myself into the ministry that I do. He would not be able to pour himself into the ministry that he does. So, that's in general where your giving goes. Pays for MC3 ministry, pays for MC3 missions, pays for MC3 salaries. And that's pretty much it. So last year, our total expenses were about $160,000, which, not that I want you to go compare us to other people. I'm not saying that. But that is such a modest number. I don't think I've ever been in a church that the budget was under $500,000. And usually we were in Dallas. We're talking multi-million dollar annual budgets. So ours is $160,000 because we want to be wise managers. We'll get to that in a second. Wise managers of the money that God has given us. And so it was $160,000. Giving last year was $145,000, give or take. And so that leaves about a $14,000 to $15,000 deficit. Now, God has provided in these little ways and crazy ways to come through on that. But that means that right now, if we continue in this pattern, just to be straight, this cannot continue to exist. Like, eventually, it would have to shut down. And so we're going to come back to this budget deficit because the elders were like, we want to challenge you to give. And we use this deficit as sort of just a random number to follow as a way to challenge you. We'll come back to that in a minute. So that's where our giving goes. That's what it happens for, just in case you were wondering. And we're very transparent. Justin is our treasurer. You can ask him any question about budget, except for who gave. You can ask about if you gave, but otherwise, like, we have nothing to hide. That's why we put these sheets out. We're not hiding anything. You have questions, let's talk about it. And we seek to honor God with what we have been given by him. So that leads us to the point, which is the church should give generously. So MC3 has offering buckets. So I want to talk about the bucket basics. What is the kind of the foundation of giving? And we're covering so much material. I get it. I'm taking an entire series and doing it in 1 week. But what are the basics? Why do we give? What does it look like for you and for me on a daily basis? The first thing is that we need to understand this principle. It all belongs to God. We must manage. We are just the managers. And I've shared this before when we go to Florida, at least years ago for our vacation, one of the places there was a property management company. And the people that we stayed in the house, they don't even come down. But there's somebody that comes in and it's their job to make sure it's clean, that everything's working. And we have to go to them to get the key. Their job is to manage. They don't get to decide like, oh, you know what? I think we're going to knock this wall out and repaint this wall. That's not their job. Their job is to make sure that it's just clean. And it's ready for the next tenant, guest, whatever you call it. And that's what we are. We are the managers. This is not your money. It's not my money. It's God's money. And we're going to hit a bunch of verses here. In Psalm chapter 50, this is a psalm of Asaph. And he shares this. He says, this is God speaking. He says, I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, which obviously you don't have bulls or goats. Maybe you do. Why does God not have need of that? Because every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on the thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why? For the world is mine and all that is in it. So everything that we have, everything that we use is on loan from God. And it's our job to manage it for him. Again, if the owner of the property management company decided they wanted to do something themselves or have their own party, they would be fired because it's not their property to use. They're just to manage the property. Over in 1 Chronicles 29, there's this passage where David has a collection because he's getting ready for his son Solomon, King David. His son Solomon is going to build the temple, the permanent temple to worship God. And so he tells all the people, bring what you want. Bring your things together. We're going to have a giant collection so that Solomon can build this temple to worship God. And all this stuff comes together. And then it says, then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. David's recognizing that, O Lord. And this is your kingdom, and we adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand and your discretion. People are made great and given strength. O our God, next slide, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people? This is the king speaking on behalf of all these people that gave. Who are we that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. So we need to understand, just like David did. He's like, wow, this is an incredible collection. Look at all the people, what all the people gave. He's like, but we're only giving God what you've given to us. And that's why we give. We say, God, this is an act of faith. You've given to me, and I'm going to give it back to you. And then there's a passage in Matthew chapter 25. And you're probably familiar with this, the parable of what was called the parable of the talents, because the talent was an amount of money. It says in Matthew 25, again, Jesus is speaking, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted, I don't know if you can see it there, there's a word that's underlined, what does that say? His. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. And Jesus says, this is an illustration of the world today. That Jesus is the, spoiler, Jesus is the man going on the trip. And he has left this earth and he has entrusted his servants his money. And he says, he gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And he then left on his trip. And then the passage jumps a little later. It says, after a long time, because you saw what the people did. One doubled it, one hit it. And that's not really relevant to what we're talking about at this moment. Because it says, after a long time, their master returned. And at some point, Jesus is going to return, or you're going to be with Jesus in heaven if you're a follower of Christ, if you've believed in what he's done on the cross for you. And he returned from his trip, and he called them to give an account about how they had used, what's the word? His money. And that's the truth for us. This is God's money. Everything you have. We say, thank you, God. I have a house. I have a house. Like, I was sharing a couple of weeks ago about all the different things that broke this summer. Here are some of the things that broke, right? My vehicle that drives me around from place to place. I don't have to walk anywhere. The machine that cleans my pool. Wait, you have a pool? Yeah, first world problems, right? Like, think about all the things that we have. And they're all a gift from God. And God's going to say, this is mine. You're to manage it for me. It's your job. It's my job to manage the resources that he has given us. So it all belongs to God. We must manage. The second principle is that it all comes from God. We trust him. And in Malachi chapter 3, this is an Old Testament passage about the tithe. And we said that was a principle where when they would get cattle, when they had to have livestock, would have little livestock, whatever you call baby things, baby cattle, cattlets. Anyway, when they would have those, they were to give God the first fruits. And how much did they give? They gave a tithe, which is a fancy word for tenth. They gave a 10% off the top to God. And so what was happening in Malachi is that the people stopped giving. And they weren't doing what they were supposed to do as the people of Israel. Then that was their rule, was the tenth. And our rule is beyond the tenth. Whatever we've just, God's shown us in our heart to give. But he says to the people, he says to the Israelites, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, and the people are like, well, wait, how are we robbing you, God? He says, in your tithes and offerings. He's like, you're robbing me. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, in your tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation. And again, this was an Old Testament principle. There were some problems going on because they were disobeying God. Because you were robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. They are giving God like a little bit. I'll give him 2%. That's probably good. God's cool with that. Whatever. I'll give him whatever I've got left over. He says, bring the whole tithe, all 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And again, there was an element here that this was to help people. There was a ministry going on here. And then he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And so there's a principle that we can take away. God is not going to curse us, curse you individually, and because you did not give the tithe, because God has not called the church to tithe. God has called us to give what we've decided in our heart to give. And I'll just say the tithe, that's weak. That's lame. Give more. Give generously. And that's what Paul says. Sow generously and you'll reap generously. But the principle here is God's like, just test me. You feel like you need to hold on to it because it's your job to meet your needs and pay your bills and cover the expenses. And oh, there might be a big expense that we might have someday. You're right, there might. But God has called us to give. And he says, test me. Just try me. Just test me in this. Give and watch what happens. Give and watch me come through. And so we are to trust God when it comes to giving. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just one chapter before we were looking at earlier, Paul writes this, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia, they're being tested by many troubles. Things are rough right now. And they are very poor. But they also are filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. So these people are poor and they're being generous. He says, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford. And if we have a problem, if we say, I'm only giving what I have afford, what I can afford, then we've missed what giving is. They didn't give what only they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will, not under guilt, not under pressure, but saying, look, I'm going to give and watch God come through. I'm going to give and watch God meet my needs. I'm going to give and watch God give back so I can be more generous. And again, that doesn't mean like tomorrow you're going to be rich, but it does mean that God will come through. And so it all comes from God. We trust Him. So we give according to God's call. What is God calling you to give? What is God asking you to give? And if it feels uncomfortable, that's okay. Because maybe God wants to show up in a way that you've not seen God before. Maybe you've never given God a chance to show up. Because you've got it all figured out. Because you can afford it. The third principle here is that it all grows with God. We just give. God's the one that grows it. Don't worry about it. It's not a matter of, and I have written here, giving is not what you is what you have. Not what you wish you had or think you had. Your small part, even if it's small, matters. And I love this passage, and you know this passage, you probably have heard it before. It's called the Feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the miracles that was performed by Jesus, and it's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Matthew chapter 14, these people are all out on this field, and Jesus has been teaching, and it's getting late, and so as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And that's reasonable. Jesus is getting late, it's, you know, past dinner time, it's like 6:30 now, we're getting a little late. And Jesus replied, well, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, spoiler, we're going to see that there's 5,000 men plus women and children. 5,000 is a lot of people, but it's probably more like 15 to 20,000 people that are there. That's a lot of people. Okay, there's some NFL stadiums, at least before all the rebuilds, that were that big. He says, you give them something to eat. And they're like, well, here, we've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's not very much. But I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. So maybe that's you. God says, I want you to give. And you're like, this is all I've got. Jesus says, bring them here to me. Bring them to me. Watch what I can do. Don't you worry about what you've got or don't have. Trust me, bring it to me and watch what I can do. He said, and maybe that's where you are. Maybe you need to bring it to Jesus. So it goes on and says, he directed the people to sit down in the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He gave thanks to God, broke the loaves, and then gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. 20,000 people ate 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and it wasn't like, oh, I got a little scale there. That was yummy. No, they were satisfied. They were full. And the disciples then picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. How does that work? I don't know, but Jesus does. Don't say, I don't have much, I can't give much. Just bring him to Jesus. Bring him here to him and watch what he does. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So give what you've got. Don't worry about what you don't have. Your part, even a little part, matters. Over in 1 Corinthians 16, again, talking about church issues, Paul says to them about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, you should set aside a sum of money. So we talked about that, giving intentionally. First day of the week, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. He doesn't say you need to give compared to the person next to you. He says give according to what God has given you. As we kind of glanced over with the story of the master going away, he gave some 5, some 2, some 1. Did I get that right? And according to how much. And God gives us different amounts. So give, set aside a sum in keeping with your income, saving it up so when he says, so that when I come, no collections have to be made. And then over in 2 Corinthians 8, right before 2 Corinthians 9, he says, now you should finish what you started. Again, he's talking about giving. Let the eagerness you showed at the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Just give. And if you bring in $100 a week, and you feel that God is telling you to give $80 a week, that's more than you can afford. But God doesn't ask you to give, you know, whatever somebody that makes $50,000 a week. If you're here, you need to talk to Justin. No, it's what you've got. And watch God use it. Just trust God. Just trust God. And so it all grows with God. We just give. These are the basics, just to review them. It all belongs to God. It's our job to manage. It's not even yours anyway. We're to manage His money. And to give Him something that He has given to us is an act of worship. Like think about it. Like, say somebody, and I've heard the story, I just read it in our reading plan this past weekend. You know, say you give somebody you buy your kid a supersized fry, okay? And then you buy them the supersized fry, and then you reach over to grab one, and the kid says, "No, that's mine." There's some things that are happening in that story. Number one, your kid needs to realize that you're the source of the fries. They came from you, and the only reason that kid had the fries is because you gave them to him, because of the dad. The second thing is that the kid needs to realize that you have the power to take those fries back. You could easily take it from a child and say, "No, I'm taking them back." Or say, "Okay, I'm going to give you 300 fries, 300 packs of fries," because you have the power to do that as a parent. And then finally, taking that one fry, it wasn't because you needed the fry. You could buy your own fries. But by doing that, it was an act of faith on the child's part to say, "Yeah, I trust you. Yeah, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be giving." And that's kind of where it is with us and God. Like, it all belongs to Him. He's just loaned it to us and says, "Are you going to trust me? Are you going to give? Are you going to stretch yourself and give beyond what makes sense on paper? And watch me come through." Because it all belongs to God. We must manage. It all comes from God. We trust Him. It all grows with God. We just give. The church should give generously. So MC3 has the offering buckets. And again, the online giving. And so that's the challenge as far as the big picture, the understanding of what does it look like? What is giving? Why do we give? Why does it happen this way? But I want to jump into our churchianity lab and give you some specific details. So watch the screen. We've been doing this churchianity lab. If we're in school, lab work is where you learn. You put into practice the things you've learned. And, you know, if you have had a lab, computer lab, maybe a science lab, it's where you say, "Okay, I learned all this stuff, and now I'm going to do something with it." And so we've been doing this each week about how do we apply what we've just learned. And, of course, we said we haven't passed around the offering buckets because we're going to do that now. But as I said, the elders and I, when we were talking at our elders meeting a couple of months ago, we were like, what does it look like to challenge MC3 to step up? And we saw, again, there was about that $14,000 budget difference last year. And this is pinching my nose. And again, what we're talking about here is nothing about what we want or meeting our budget or paying Sean or making sure Chris can feed his kids. Like, that's not what this is about. It's not about making sure that our budget is balanced. Because God has come through before. He will continue to come through. He will continue to provide. It's a matter of saying, what does it look like for you to step out in faith? And so we looked at that number, and we did some weird crunching numbers, and not me, because I'm not the number cruncher. But we found out that if every person gave $10 more a month, we would totally blow away that shortfall, and we would actually have more than we need to be able to expand. Because there's no question, there are things we cannot do right now because we can't afford it. And so we were like, that's kind of a cool goal. And so I came up with this thing, a giving challenge, and you're going to be able to discuss it in your prime groups this week. But I call it the 10 for 10 challenge. And what we're saying here is that if you increase your giving by $10 a week for the next 10 months, and the end of 10 months is the end of our fiscal year. And again, this isn't about meeting the budget. This is about saying, I'm going to trust God for a little bit here. I'm going to step out and see what he does, see how he comes through. You can be playing now. And what does that look like? And so I've got these little cards here as a challenge for you. And this is between you and God to say, okay, God, do I need to step out in faith? And actually, one of these were like reverse buckets. We're going to pass and you're going to take from these. My mic, don't want to just pass that through there. You guys could pass through there and then pass them back through there. Everybody just grab one. One of these little cards. Oh, we'll get you guys some. And these cards is a challenge to say, okay, what does it look like to say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give a little bit more. And the back of these cards, it's kind of hard to read, especially because I'm old. But it says in Malachi 3:10, God says to test him by giving in faith. Therefore, I or we, if you're a couple, am increasing my or our giving by at least $10 per week for the next 10 months, now through June 2025. So the idea is that I'm going to test God. I'm going to step out and trust God. And so I'm going to give $10 more a week as an act of faith and worship is what it says in the bottom there. And so this is meant to be like a little card that you can carry around saying, okay, what does it look like? And let's just be honest here. $10, and now I sound totally like I'm a person on TV, and I don't mean to. But that's two coffees at a coffee house. That's one Big Mac value meal negative. Like, it's actually more than $10. Like, so what does it look like for you to say, you know what, I'm committing, I'm just going to give $10 more. And maybe you don't give it all. This is the place to start. $10 a month. Maybe God's calling you to give more. Maybe it's more than $10. Maybe God's like, you know, you have been not trusting me and you need to give more. So whatever that looks like, this is between you and God. It's the 10 for 10 challenge to say between now and the end of June, I'm going to increase my giving by $10 a week, whatever that looks like. And I'm talking to all of you. I'm talking to the students that give. I'm talking to the adults, families, whatever that looks like, to say I'm going to step out in faith and just watch God come through. So that's what this is. This is the lab for you, is to say, I'm going to do that. And so the band's going to lead us in a song here. And as they do, I'm going to come up during the bridge in the middle, and we will be passing the offering buckets. And maybe, you know, you're not ready to do that right now. Again, we said, decide in your hearts how much to give. But maybe you need to go home and go to mc3church.org/give and set up online giving that way. Maybe you need to prepare ahead of time. But you just take what the Bible has said. This is not about the budget. I hope I'm clear on that. Okay, what do you need to do about it? What does your family need to do about it? How do you need to trust God? Because God is always faithful. God will always come through, and God will always meet your needs. So again, the challenge is 10 for 10, $10 a week. I don't know if we said a week. $10 a week for 10 months. So that would be, what, 10 months, 4 weeks, $400? I see my math right there? Yeah. About $400 for the next 10 months. But maybe God is asking you to do more. Maybe God just says, start somewhere. But start. Because this isn't a matter of us. It's not a matter of MC3. It's about God and the way we can worship Him. So I'm going to pray, and then we will pass the offering buckets. And again, this shouldn't be like, oh no, He made me feel guilty. I need to throw something in. As Kirk said, talk with your spouse. If they're not here, like if you're watching online, just come ready next week if this is something you're not ready for right now. So you've given what you decided in your heart to do. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you've given us. Thank you that we have so many unnecessary blessings, so much grace upon grace, that we have clothes, and we have food to eat, we have vehicles to drive, homes that have air conditioning and heat, we have running water, we have plumbing, indoor plumbing, and God, all of this is from you. And we know that, you know, God, that the heart of the leadership of MC3 here is to reach people for Jesus. And you know, God, that that takes money. And we trust you. We in the leadership trust you to provide for our needs. And I pray for each of us as individuals that make up this body, that we would trust you individually by giving whatever you have called us to give. and trusting you to come through, and so that we can tell the stories of how great your faithfulness is, so we can say that we've seen you move, and you've moved the mountains, and I believe you can do it again, God. And we pray that, we sing that, we worship you now through our giving in honor of what you have given to us. Help us not to cling to the French fry and call it mine, but to give it generously and watch you come through. In Jesus' name.